This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. The East Room of the White House was packed with hundreds of cheering supporters this morning as President Obama signed the health care bill into law. Some changes will go into effect within months. Others will take years. We're going to hear now from two longtime doctors about what they think the impact will be. George Kinesey is a breast cancer surgeon in private practice in Richmond, Virginia. Greg Darrow is a family physician. He's medical director of the Jemez Pueblo Health Center in New Mexico. We spoke with both Dr. Kinesey and Dr. Darrow last summer, and they're back with us on this historic day. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's hear from you both just briefly on what you think this day means, what it stands for. Dr. Darrow?
I think it's a historic day. I think it's a day of a laudable first step toward covering more Americans who desperately need coverage, so I'm very excited about it.
And Dr. Kinesey?
Well, I mean, I think this is a tremendously big day in terms of the healthcare in this country. A lot of things have been accomplished that have been very difficult. I have, as I did before, concerns about the economics of it, but there were two main problems. One was access and the other was cost, and I think this dealt with access, maybe at the expense of cost. We'll see.
Dr. Kinesey, you have expressed concerns when we spoke a year ago, too, about what this healthcare overhaul will mean for your practice as a breast cancer surgeon. What are those fears?
Well, I think that we sense with all the complexity and the 2,700 pages that there will probably be more regulation, and that generally translates for us into more overhead. I suspect if they're planning to take $500 billion out of Medicare, that part of that will also come from physicians' fees. The Medicare really is sort of our basic insurance for probably about 40% of most doctors' patients. And all the other insurance reimbursements are based on Medicare. So that is another concern that I would have going forward. The other thing is that there will be an additional 30 or 32 million patients in the system. And since we're all very busy, you wonder how long the waits will be to bring those people into the system. I mean, they've been in the system, but only pretty much on an emergency basis. Now they'll be asking for more to be done, and that's good, but I'm not sure how much we'll be able to deliver in a punctual manner.
Dr. Darrow, when you and I spoke last summer, you told me that what you really would like to see is a single-payer system. Obviously, you did not get that. You didn't get a government-run option either. Do you think this package of changes is going to make a big difference to your patients at the Pueblo there in New Mexico and to your practice as a family doctor?
Yes, I think it will. I think it's a first step. I've thought a lot about the issue of cost, and I think I would boil it down philosophically to how can we afford not to. We already pay double the amount of any other wealthy nation for a very dubious privilege of higher infant and maternal mortality. We have a life expectancy that's 42nd highest in the world, and we're about the only nation that's wealthy that doesn't ensure coverage for all citizens. So I think broadly it's a good bill. I think in terms of overall cost down the road, by having access to preventive services, hopefully people will be able to get the care that they need sooner to prevent problems from becoming catastrophic and then breaking the bank later on. So I do see benefit from this in a number of different ways.
Have you been getting questions from your patients about healthcare overhaul, what it means, how it'll affect their care, Dr. Darrow?
I think the people who come to me are very excited about it because they realize that there may be actually something in it for them. New Mexico is traditionally a poor state, and we have, as we spoke last time, many people who don't have access to services and or are underinsured. So I think the attitude that I have experienced is one of optimism, one of happiness, one that something at last is going to be done. It's a start, and I think people are grateful for that.
And Dr. Kinesey, what are you hearing from your breast cancer patients?
I hear a lot from them, but I must be dealing with different folks. So many of them are Medicare patients, and they usually come in, and I don't bring it up, but they usually come in and say, boy, oh boy, I don't like the way this thing sounds. I'm afraid I'm going to have more costs and less coverage. And the younger people, I don't think, talk about it as much as the Medicare people do.
And what do you tell those Medicare patients who are so worried?
Well, I say I don't really know what's going to happen. I think that that they may be right, that it may cost more, but that hopefully the care would still be of equal quality.
And Dr. Gadara, let me come back to you. I wonder if you can think of a specific case, a patient you've seen, someone who really comes to mind as you think about this bill that was signed into law today and what it might mean for that person.
Sure. I think that I'll use, for sake of a good example, my mother who died in November, who is a person with some means who would not take her prescription medications but every other day or every third day because she was concerned about cost. She also did not go to see her cardiologist several times, even though she was having symptoms that later proved to be serious chest pain that ultimately took her life. I saw her cardiologist a couple of times, who's a friend of mine, and he would ask me, "Why isn't your mom coming in to see me?" And only later did I learn that she was so concerned about cost, so concerned that her chest pain was really a harbinger of a heart problem, that instead of going and seeing about it, she pulled back and decided not to do anything because she didn't want to spend the money.
Mm. Did she live nearby?
Yeah, about 6 miles away. Mm. And I would try to supervise her prescriptions and stay aware of what she was taking. And I noticed that, golly, the pills were staying around a long time and she wasn't going back to the pharmacy to get more. And after doing some simple arithmetic, that it was obvious that she was taking one of her pills every other day, one that she was supposed to be taking 4 times a day, she was taking twice a day, just to stretch them out. So I think that's a real example that I see every day in my practice of people who deny themselves medications, immunizations, other services, other visits that they need because they either can't afford it, don't have access to it, or it's beyond their means in other ways.
They're afraid of the cost or what might happen.
Yes.
Well, Dr. Kinesi and Dr. Darrow, it's good to talk to you both again. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Melissa.
Thank you very much, Melissa. It was an honor to be back on your program.
That's family physician Greg Darrow, who is medical director for the Jemez Pueblo Health Center in New Mexico, and George Kinesi, a breast cancer surgeon in Richmond, Virginia.
And if you have questions about what's in the new healthcare law and about what it means for you, send us those questions and we'll answer some of them on the air later this week. Just go to npr.org and click on Contact Us and be sure to put Health Question in the subject line. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.